Father in heaven, thank you for the truth of the song that was just sung. We'll even refer to that tonight in the message. And so we rejoice in the complete salvation that Jesus purchased for us, body, soul, and spirit on the cross. And we're thankful He didn't just go halfway. We're glad, Lord, for what Jesus did for us. And help us tonight as we come together to this time. May our hearts be ready to receive what is ready for us. We'll thank you for it. May your spirit have both speaker and listener tonight and have his way in the service. In Christ's name and amen. I am an American. Now, those words have been spoken to people on foreign soil over the years. And when people on foreign soil hear those words, they have different meaning to the people who hear them. To some, when they hear, "I am an American," they interpret that to mean, "I am rich." And that's the truth. And Brother Gallus, you know that's true on the mission field. Especially in third world countries. That's one of the hurdles that missionaries face when they're especially those who are working in third world countries, because they view every American as rich. And they look at that American preacher as their ticket to America. And somehow if I can just get under his influence and follow him for a little bit, I'm going to be able to work my way. And even Ben faced that in the early years there in Madagascar, where a lot of the people just came because he was an American. And in their minds, he was their ticket to America. He'd even been asked, "Can you get me to America?" Because in their mind, they interpret, "I am an American," with being rich. I am rich. And the truth of the matter is, when you compare, America is pretty rich compared to those in other places. To others, when they hear, "I am an American," they interpret that to mean, "I am better. I am better." And I suppose that, you know, some Americans in distant places have exhibited attitudes of pride and arrogance, maybe looking down their noses at other nationalities. And sometimes, I know this is true, other nationalities confuse confidence and pride. Americans speak definitively. It's hot outside. And a lot of other, that's not true today, but you know what I'm saying, okay? Other people from other countries will raise their voice at the end of the sentence, turning a statement into a question. It's hot outside. There's a big difference. And it's hot outside. And it's hot outside. Sometimes it's not arrogance. It's just confidence. It's our language. It's our culture. But I am sure that there have been some Americans go to distant soil, different distant lands, and with a condescending attitude have treated people poorly. And when somebody says, "I am an American," those people interpret that to mean, "I am better than you." Then, to many, when they hear someone say, "I am an American," they interpret that to mean, "I am free. I am free." And that is to them the most precious thing about being an American: freedom. And for these many years, we as Americans have been free. You know, I think I brought this up one time. We just spent 8 days with this tour group, leaving a week ago Saturday, returning yesterday afternoon. And we traveled through Illinois, into Kentucky, into Tennessee, across Tennessee into North Carolina, and out of North Carolina through South Carolina, into Georgia, and then back again. And we never had to stop and report our travel to anybody. We didn't have to get anybody's permission to go from state to state. I didn't have to call the local police department. We could stop here, stop there, eat here, eat there, spend the night here, spend the night there, at our own choosing. Didn't have to report that to anybody. Over the years, God's people buy things, they sell things. We listen, we read, we talk, we live in freedom. We went to a state park on Tuesday, and drove up to that place. I don't know if many of you have ever been there, called the Highlands. It's Highlands, North Carolina. It's right near the South Carolina, North Carolina border. It's kind of like a Galena on steroids. You ever been to Galena? The little shops? Well, that's our pay grade. Okay? Highlands? I mean, you walk down the sidewalks and it's, you know, Porsche, Lexus, Mercedes, BMW, Maserati. Maserati, and I even say, I can't even say it. You know, I saw this car pulling in, and I told the girls and my wife, I said, that's not a normal car. It's a Maserati. And I went over there, and sure enough, it was a lady driving it. A lady. Now, that's a sports car, isn't it? Yeah. Does that have a fast engine? Yes. What a shame. But I'm talking about, you know, it's just, it's cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. But, you know, it's one of those places where you window shop. That's what you do. And then we went to the state park, and that's where the incident with the Yellow Jackets took place. And so many people have asked about that, and I appreciate your concern. But I'm fine. We were going down to a waterfall to take some pictures. Bailey and one of the other girls didn't have tennis shoes. They only had sandals. So my wife said, I'll stay here with these girls. And I took Cherith and two of the other two girls, Kaylee and Kara, and we started down the trail, a steep trail. And I mean, steep trail. If you've been in the Carolina Mountains, you know what I'm talking about. Steep trail. We're going there. So here's this family coming up from the bottom, and they got three little girls, about 6'4", and a baby. And he starts talking. Y'all going down to the waterfall? And we said, yes, sir. He said, well, you're going to get some good pictures, and there's a swimming hole over there, and all this stuff. And he just talked. We step off the trail to let them pass. And without realizing, we stepped right into a yellow jacket nest. Yellow jackets build their nest in the ground in holes. And I got stung in the back of my arm, and I said to the girl, I said, man, I just got stung. And then it was a swarm. They were flying everywhere, and I started getting stung, and I said, I thought, we're in trouble. And I swatted a yellow jacket and caught my glasses, and my glasses went flying about 10 feet. I'm blind as a bat backing up without my glasses. So now I'm standing there, and I can't say, I just start hollering, run. Run, girls. And that guy said, y'all are in a yellow jacket nest. I said, I thank you, my friend. I know. And, man, we're just getting there. And so Cherish running up the hill, and then go, and Kaylee was the furthest down. I said, can you get my glasses? And she picked them up, and she said, and then she got within 2 feet of me, got hammered by a yellow jacket, and dropped my glasses in this big patch of foliage. So I'm standing there, and I get out of here. And, you know, and I just said, okay, so just stop. Just quit moving. And I did. And I got stung a couple more times. And then I said, Lord, you've got to help me. My wife can't drive this van in the mountains, even on flat ground. She didn't want to, did you, babe? And I bent down and I saw this little opaque thing. And I said, I think that's it. And I said, Lord, please help me. And I reached it. And it was my glasses. And I got out of there 13 yellow jacket stings. It was nasty. All up this arm, this hand, 13 of them. I told y'all over the years that every summer we'd get stung by bees. It's been since boyhood that I got stung, so I made up for a lot of lost time. It was interesting. Cherith got stung 5 times. And two of the other girls got stung. The other two got stung twice. And I appreciate you, because I didn't know Brother Bragg was going to announce that to the church. Thank you, Brother Bragg. Amen. So anyway, and the only thing that really happened was this hand swelled up. I still got the spots. It just swelled up. I had to get my ring off. But anyway, the point I'm making is we spent 8 days, went all across that part of the country, never had to talk to anybody. That's because we live in freedom. A lot of the world can't do that, folks. They don't live like that. So when an American says, I am free, or I am an American, to some people, they interpret that as, I am free. And the truth of the matter is, a person can be a free American and not be free indeed. Because being an American citizen does not make a person free indeed. Free in reality, free in truth, free in fact, from the thing that all of us need to be free from. Only the truth and the Son of God can make a person free indeed. Free in reality, free in truth, free in fact. Look at verse number 30 here. Jesus has been teaching and speaking. The Bible says, as He spake these words, many believed on Him. But folks, you got to understand that sometimes that belief was not saving belief. Remember Nicodemus? He came to Jesus in John chapter 3, and he said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. Listen now, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." You say, well, there's belief. Yes. But there is a difference in God being with a man and that man being God. You understand what I'm saying? Big difference. And look at verse number 31. After it says, he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, believe in salvation. Well, we'll see. He says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And drop down to verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And the Jewish leaders, they put much stock in the fact that they were Jews, sons of Abraham, their nationality. They even said in verse number 33, we be Abraham's seed. We're Jews. We're freeborn, if you will. We are born that Jewish. We're by nationality. We are Jews, sons of Abraham. And yes, they were. But Abraham could not make them free. Indeed, only Christ could do that. When you look at this passage, I just want to major on three sets of words tonight. Look at verse 31. Look at the words, "My word." Then look at verse number 32, the truth. And then verse number 36, the Son. My words point you to the truth, which points you to the Son who makes you free indeed. Free in reality, free in truth, free in fact. You see, folks, real true freedom is not in citizenship, but in Jesus Christ. Now, we certainly enjoy some national freedoms. We don't take lightly the freedoms that what our freedom has cost people who've died and thousands have given their lives, and even some like Luke today still entering into the military. We don't take that lightly, and we certainly we don't take it lightly. We enjoy those freedoms. We don't take lightly that we enjoy a stable and secure style of living, if you will, a standard of living that people in dictatorships can only read and dream about. We don't take that for granted. We appreciate our nationality. We appreciate our national freedom, but the real freedom, the true freedom, freedom indeed is only found in Christ Jesus. Three things were done. Number one, the Word points us to the truth that only the Son makes us free indeed from sin's penalty. The Word points us to the truth that only the Son makes us free indeed from sin's penalty. The Word, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The Word, Ezekiel 18:2, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Word, Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The Word teaches the truth that the penalty of sin is death. The Word, Revelation 20:14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. The Word teaches the truth that death is not only physical, but spiritual in nature, and it separates a man or a woman from God forever and ever and ever in the place called hell or the lake of fire. That's what the Word teaches us. The Word teaches us the truth about sin's penalty. But, thank God, the Word doesn't stop there. The Word goes on to tell us the Son can set us free. Romans 6:23, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I love Romans 5:18, therefore, as by the offense of one, parenthesis, Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, parenthesis, hell. Even so, by the righteousness of one, parenthesis, Jesus, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. The Son sets us free indeed from the penalty of sin. 1 John 5:11 and 12, the Word says, And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His, pointing to the Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Only the Son sets us free indeed from sin's penalty. Are you in Christ tonight? You're not just free partially, folks. You're free in reality. You're free in truth. You're free in fact from sin's penalty. I love it when we sing the song, "For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, in sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out through His saving power. Thank God I am free. Free, free from this world of sin, washed in the blood of..." "I've been born again. Hallelujah. I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace." Are you in Christ tonight? You have more than national freedom. More freedom than just get in your car and go somewhere. More freedom than just to choose a place to work. You're free indeed from the penalty of sin. And the Word tells us the truth and points us to the Son about free, being free indeed. Number two, the Word points us to the truth that only the Son makes us free indeed from sin's power. Only the Word points us to the truth that only the Son makes us free indeed from sin's power. Here's what the Word says in Romans 6:11. "Likewise reckon yourselves all, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Verse 12. "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." Verse 18. "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Verse 22. "But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life." You see, the Word points out the truth between sin's dwelling and sin's reigning. Sin's dwelling and sin's reigning. We got saved. Sin still dwells in our body. That's what Paul said. He said, "I'm frustrated. The things that I want to do, I don't find myself doing. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing. It's no more me, the sin that dwelleth in me." There's a difference in sin dwelling in us and sin reigning. It doesn't have to reign. R-E-I-G-N. It doesn't have to sit on the throne of our heart. It doesn't have to sit on the throne of our life. It doesn't have to dominate. It doesn't have to rule. It doesn't have to bear rule in our lives. How was the power of sin's reign broken? It was broken through Jesus Christ. 1 John 1:7, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Only the Son can make us free indeed from sin's power. You're not going to believe this, but this is what I was talking to a pastor who started a church in Asheville, North Carolina. We stayed in his prophet's chamber for 4 days, and we based out of there. We held a service for them on Thursday night. He's been saved about 6 or 7. Well, I've been saved longer than that, but we were talking about Carolina being tobacco country, brother Howard. And I showed the girls tobacco. We didn't stop and pick any. And I told them, I said, "Girls, there's nothing much prettier than a full-grown tobacco field." And so I was talking with him about the tobacco. And I said, "You know, I see the barns." I pointed out the tobacco barns to the girls. And I said, "I was looking for one that they built the fire and they start smoking." I don't know if you've ever seen that or not. They'll close that barn up tight and they'll build a fire. They'll smoke that tobacco. They won't smoke it. They'll smoke the tobacco. You understand what I'm saying? Right, Brother Howard? Okay. And he said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You know," he said, "everybody grows up with a little chew. He said, I quit. He said, I finally got victory over it 6 years ago. I think he's 23. 17 years of age. He said, I started chewing when I was 11 years old. He said, my church, when I was growing up, between Sunday school and church, pastor, deacons, everybody on the front porch, and we just lit up. That's how they do it. It's almost part of their culture. But he said, you know, 6 years ago, God convicted my heart that it wasn't right. And he said, I got victory over it. Now, sin still dwells in him. But that sin's not reigning anymore. And you know where that victory comes from? The Son. The Son makes you free indeed. And friend, I don't think you have to beat yourself up for something that's not real. By that, I mean, you're going, sin dwells in my body, sin dwells in your body, it's in this stuff we call flesh. It's in us. But sin doesn't have to reign. It does not have to sit on the throne of my heart and call the shots. And not just tobacco sin, alcohol sin, gossip sin, jealous sin, lust sin. No sin has to reign on the throne of my heart because Christ, the Word tells me, that the Son has made us free indeed. He can make you free. So if you're in Christ tonight, you've been made free indeed from sin's power. Say, Pastor, what does that mean if sin is reigning on my heart? That means you're putting Him on the throne. You're putting it on the throne. It needs to be out of there. I like the song we sing once in a while, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help us, some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. In our strength, no, listen to what the song says, look ever to Jesus. He will carry you through. Ask the Savior to help you, comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through. And that's talking about victory over sin's power. Victory over sin's power. So the Word points us to the truth, which tells us that the Son is the only one who can make us free indeed from the penalty of sin. And the Word points us to the truth that points us to the Son is the only one who can make us free indeed from the power of sin. And you know what number three is. The Word points us to the truth that only the Son makes us free indeed from sin's presence. Paul said in the Word in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. And the Word tells us in Philippians 3, 20 and 21, for our citizenship is in heaven, from where we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, and it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Well, won't that be a good day? What they sang about tonight. The trump will sound, and I can't. Da-da-da-da, the saints will rise up from the ground. I think about 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. He, Him, Him, He. Who is that? That's the Son. That's the Son. And so the Word points us to the truth that the Son will make us free indeed. Not only from sin's penalty, not only from sin's power, but glory to God, someday from sin's presence. I've heard of a land on a faraway strand. 'Tis the beautiful city of gold. Where with Jesus on high, we never more die. I'm forgetting all the words. Never grow old. Sin's presence gone. Now, the Word points us to the truth. It points us to the Son. It's Jesus, who's only Jesus, who can make us free indeed. Now, what about these? Well, in verse number 37, he said to them, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. They were willing to believe that God was with him. But they were not willing to believe that he was God. But old Nicodemus did. Old Nicodemus stood there in that conversation with Jesus Christ, and Christ took him to the cross. Jesus wasn't going to be there for another couple of years, but he took him to the cross. That great verse he spoke to Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And that word pointed Nicodemus to the truth. And that truth pointed Nicodemus to the Son of God. And Nicodemus believed. And when Christ died and was hanging there on that cross, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus came and took his body and put it in the borrowed tomb. The Word points to the truth that points to the Son, who is the only one who can set us free indeed. Reality. What a shame to live in a country and enjoy national freedom and yet not be free from sin's penalty, sin's power, and sin's presence. What a privilege to live in a country and enjoy freedom and at the same time be free indeed, which is much more precious than being an American. We're free indeed. And what this table represents tonight is the reason we're free. His body, His blood, the price that He paid, so that we can be free indeed. Father in heaven, we are grateful tonight for the sacrifice of Your Son on the cross of Calvary. We are thankful for the freedom that we enjoy nationally here as Americans. But God, we are more thankful and more grateful for the freedom indeed that we enjoy because Christ came and makes it, Lord, possible for us to be free indeed from sin's penalty, sin's power, and sin's presence someday. And we are grateful for that. So I pray that You'll help us to live as we sang tonight in that great old hymn by Fanny Crosby. I pray that You'll help us to live, Lord, in the shadows of the cross. May sin's power not reign in our life. We know that it dwells in us, but I pray, God, that we will never, through the help of Your Spirit, let it reign. And God, we thank You for the day when we'll be free from sin's presence. We look to that day with great hope. Help us tonight as we gather around this table, Lord, to remember the One who made all of that possible, the Son. We ask it in His name. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask the ladies to play just a song of invitation song. Ladies, go ahead and do that. And if you'd like to use the altar for a moment, you may do so. If you're not sure that you're saved, this is a great time to come and let somebody show you how to be saved.